friends are very fascinated by the whole thing.
The married ones, yes. Not the single ones.
No, and they
have
go, Michael.
Have you lost any single friends?
No single friends, but the married friends, including, I mean, Pete Wilson, the guy on Channel 4, when they showed this story, his comment kind of summed it all up, because it's the comment I'm hearing from a lot of my male friends. It's like, Michael, you are living every male's fantasy, you know? And I mean, I don't even look at it that way, because it's an opportunity to make a lot of friends and meet a lot of women. But I don't think of it as like I'm trying to collect a harem or anything.
Do any of your friends want to share their number? Have you share their numbers with them?
Oh, yeah. They look at all these letters and they go, Michael, there's no way that one man, it's not humanly possible, no matter how many megavitamins you take every day, to meet this many women. Can we help you out at all?
And what do you say? Are you willing to share?
Well, I actually could turn this into a dating
service.
Let's
face it, there's only one of you and 3,000 of them.
I know. I mean, I could turn it into a dating service or play a matchmaker role or
you
whatever.
You really could, Michael. Why don't you?
Well, that's a good idea. I never thought about it.
It's not a bad idea, because I'm sure that there are many women who would love to meet you but are really interested in getting to know a nice guy. If
right.
you know that many nice guys. Do you?
Unfortunately, no, because they
she
haven't.
Asked.
No, it's you know, women, I hear this all the time. There just aren't enough good men left out there, you know? And honestly, it's true, because most males do not know.
Uh-oh, guys, if you're out there, I don't know how they're listening to this. No wonder they're not calling us, Michael. They're
but angry. Most men do not really know that much about females and have taken the time to learn, to listen and communicate and do some of these other things.
A lot of single men probably have a lot of lessons to learn, I would imagine.
And I'm not claiming to know the answers by any means, but I've just learned through some experiences what, you know, females are looking for, because when they do come for dinner or we go out, we talk about these things.
Now, have you received any offers that you've refused? And let's talk about that, because obviously you're not responding to all. Are you responding to all 3,000 letters
No,
yourself?
I've only written back to about 800.
Wow,
right now.
That's a lot of time.
And what I do is I give an hour a day, and I do not do form letters or computerized letters. I handwrite them. They're not very long, a couple paragraphs, but I feel that anybody takes the time out of their life to write to me, the least I can do
nice.
is to write back and
okay.
say thank you. Thank
and you
Anna.
Intend to respond to the other.
Hopefully, I'll get through all
2,200.
And then, yeah.
That's a lot of work. You're going to have to hire.
Well,
some
now
people,
Alaska Men magazine just called and they're giving me a full page in there to publicize the book as well.
Wow.
And that's going to be another 100 to 200 letters a day.
You're just. I think starting a dating service is not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. Okay, so you are going to hopefully respond to the next 2,200. You've also gotten requests to appear on certain television programs, I understand, that you've turned down.
Right.
Because, let's talk, do you mind discussing this on the air?
No, well, just like a woman, I, as a man, have
Maybe
learned to say no.
Maybe you get a movie offer, though. Maybe somebody want to put you in a movie.
Well, if it was done in a proper way, I think I would, you know. But just like, again, with the role reversal, like a woman, being a man, I've learned to say no as well, certain times. And I got a call from a TV show called, with the horrible name of Studs. I couldn't believe it. My brother's teasing me. My brother
sounds good to me, but I haven't seen it.
And it's crazy. They fly you to L.A. You're supposed to date three ladies. You get on the program and talk about the dates. But, I mean, I have to draw the line somewhere. It sort of borders on a sleazy kind of thing, so I decided not to do
you
that.
You thought it would hurt your reputation.
Yeah.
Now, you also participated in a fundraiser and a benefit recently for the March of Dimes benefit. They have what they call a bachelor auction, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And what did that involve?
That was very strange. Bid for bachelors. There were 29 very eligible bachelors from around the Bay Area, and we had to come up with a dream date package. And a lot of them were like limo rides from San Francisco to the beautiful Napa Valley, balloon rides, dinner at Auberge de Soleil, something like that. And then you walk
you
down.
You have to pay for this, though, but it's to a worthy cause,
right.
Of course.
And it was a black tie event at the St. Francis Hotel in Union Square. Each bachelor was announced, and we walked down a ramp. One at a time, and the date package was recited, and women bid on us and the date package. And that was very strange. Again, a role reversal. Here you have women, like, checking you out and actually...
Didn't you have to sort of dance down the runway?
Right. Dance down the runway.
I actually did go to one of these. That's what happened to know.
Ricky knows.
No, I went with somebody else over in the... And there was one in the East Bay.
But it was fun.
My boss participated in that, so I had to go.
And it was great.
It's a good excuse. So how did you feel dancing down the... is it called a runway?
Yeah, well, it's like a model. When they have a modeling show, they walk down. I guess it is a runway.
Didn't you feel like, as you said, a sex object, a spectacle?
Yes, and I'm believe it or not, I'm a very shy person.
I don't believe it for a second.
Well, the reason why I'm outgoing is because I'm so shy. There's mm-hmm. a saying that courage is a form of fear turned around. Well, mm-hmm. I got kind of the same way with me and being outgoing. And I went down the runway, and, you know, it's just strange to see women raising their hands and bidding money and the whole bit. But I
were
had.
Were you happy with the woman who
yes,
auctioned for you?
Very much so.
Who bid
in
for
fact,
you?
The dream package was 4 days and three nights in Cabo San Lucas at the tip of Land's End in Mexico. So we're going to go down in February.
Oh, you haven't gone yet?
No, in February.
Okay, we won't. I was going to ask you a few extra questions on that. You're picking up the tab for the whole thing?
Well, actually, Sun Trips is...
Oh, in fact, they're one of our sponsors.
Really?
Here.
Yeah, Sun Trips put together the package deal and, you know, in exchange for some publicity and is flying us down there, Aero Mexico and
two,
all that.
Two separate rooms, I'm sure. Right, Michael?
Yes.
Good, good.
At least the first couple
of weeks. Glad to hear that. That's fabulous. And why did you postpone this until February?
Well, I figured, you know, when the weather's really bad here and it's nice down there, plus it's off season, so the rates would be better. You know, it wouldn't be that expensive for Sun Trips to put it together.
Now, have you been disappointed with any of the women whom you have met, and or have they been disappointed with you? There must be some awkward moments here that you have to live through or work through.
You know, I've wondered about that, and so far it hasn't happened. Because from my point of view, I can find something to love in everybody. And, you know, some of the women haven't been sort of my idea of ideal beauties or whatever, but they're wonderful people and their personality shines up and I've, you know, can love them from that point of view.
But you don't feel obliged to love them all. Obviously, that's not part. You don't have to love them all, Michael. It's okay not to. Or do you? Do you really feel some kind of
Well, you know what
obligation?
I feel? I almost feel an obligation or responsibility because so many women have had such disastrous times with men.
That's so true.
That, and I'm not, it's not a messiah so complex, but I almost feel like, you know, I should just try, at least try to show them that maybe there is, you know, one guy or a few guys around that aren't that way, that aren't horrible, you know, just egotistical maniacs or whatever.
Out to use them and abuse them and discard them.
Right. And the fact that, you know, I will cook dinner and they'll come over and we'll have a wonderful sort of romantic evening. And I mean, you know, most of the times we'll just talk on the first date and get to know each other and all of that. But the fact that a man would actually put that effort forth and really enjoy, you know, doing that for someone, I think speaks volumes.
Yeah.
And I don't do it to play a game or as an art of seduction. I do it because I genuinely like to spoil somebody.
Aren't these women every leery of going over to your home on the first date? I know without knowing you, certainly any normal? Are there any normal people out there?
Well, a lot of them go out, they buy the book and they read it.
Right.
And because it's first person, they feel like they know me so well. And then they, you know, certainly come over right away because they've already got a handle on me as far as personality.
Okay, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this book, Inside Passage, which is about your experience of living with killer whales, bald eagles, and Kewakutal Indians.
Perfect.
Off the coast of Alaska. If you have any questions for Michael Modzelewski, now is the time to ask them. We're talking about his experience of being the Cosmopolitan November Bachelor of the Month. We're also going to talk about living at the Inside Passage off the coast of Alaska, 255-5866 here in Napa, from Up Valley, 963-8463, from Vallejo, 643-8463, and from Fairfield and Vacaville, 428-5866. We'll be right back. And we are back. We're coming up on 9 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, and we have a caller from Michael Modzelewski. Good morning. You're on the air with Michael Modzelewski, Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month.
Thanks very much for calling in. Answer to the first question is Cosmo receives 300 solicitations on average per month, mainly from girlfriends sending in letters and photos of their boyfriends.
I would send my boyfriend's picture in there. That would be distressing to have your loved one be looked at by all of these women and have their drool over them. I mean, him. I'm surprised that they get those submissions from girlfriends. Mm-hmm. I really am. Okay, so there is a lot of competition, a lot of stiff competition.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody can enter. So, caller, if you're interested in submitting your picture, you too can enter. Is that correct?
Yes, send it right in. And it's just a shot that represents you in your, you know, normal workaday world or having a hobby or anything like that. And the answer to the second question would be that it's more, if you actually see the magazine, it's great exposure because the page I was on was with Robin Williams, the rock band U2, and the actress Lisa Hartman. And there was nothing sleazy about it. And they're awarding you, sort of putting you on that page for your accomplishments in life. So, yes, I would, you know, list it on my resume or on the book jacket, say, of the next book.
You're not ashamed at all.
No, not at all.
Would you do this over again, Michael, if somebody said, do you want to be Cosmopolitan Bachelor of the Month?
Most
do I need to ask that? We don't even need to ask that question.
Most definitely.
And you would recommend it to other bachelors out there?
I would recommend it to every male in America who's single.
Did they check you out to make sure that you were single before you did this? Because I can think of probably a lot of married men who would love to do this. As you said, all your married friends were very, very jealous.
Right. They did a background check, and I did a two-hour interview over the phone. And,
oh, they did?
Yeah, with Lisa Simmons at Cosmo.
And what kind of questions did they ask you?
You know, what's your ideal of a romantic date? What are you looking for in a woman? How would you describe yourself? Things like that.
But they did check you out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does that answer your question, caller? Do you have any more? Good luck to you.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Yeah, I would imagine that it would get a lot of people involved and interested. Good morning. You're on the air with Michael Modzelewski. Great. And one of them is, he has written this book, Inside Passage, about his adventure in Alaska.
Right. And since being here in the Napa Valley, and writing for the Napa Valley Times was an invaluable experience because I had a great relationship with Yvonne Fronfelder, and I did a lot of features, got to know a lot of people. And I sort of continued writing in that style, only I left Napa and sort of traveled around the world, went to China and the Soviet Union and Africa, and did a lot of adventure travel stories for the LA Times and for national magazines. So that's pretty much what I've done since leaving Napa. And then, publicized the book. And I've been on a book tour basically since it's come out, and went to England and been on BBC. And also PBS Television is now making an hour special based on the book that should air late next year. So we started filming, and we've been up in Vancouver, and we've shot 13 hours of film right now.
Did you go directly from Napa to this? Actually, you had made this trip before coming
right.
to Napa.
I had made the trip before, and then it was just a matter of touching up the manuscript,
and so
getting
it
sold.
And you went back to Alaska?
Right, and then we've been back up there for the film. Let's
talk about the book now, Inside Passage, because that is really what got you on the cover of Cosmopolitan magazine. Actually, not on the cover, but inside the magazine.
It was my brains, not my brawn.
There you go. They're both pretty good, if you ask me. for those of you who can't see them. But let's talk about this book and what prompted you to write this book, which, as I mentioned before, is beautifully written. It reads like a novel, and there's some very descriptive passages of the wilderness in here and in your experiences.
Well, one of my favorite books of all time was Walden Pond by Henry David Thoreau. And I'd also seen a movie called Jeremiah Johnson with Robert Redford. And I wondered if in the late 20th century, if there was still an area of the world where a young person could go in and sort of test himself down to the marrow, as Thoreau had done with himself at Walden Pond. And sure enough, I found this island 200 miles north of Vancouver and about 100 years back in time. So I stayed there for a year and a half and just had a marvelous experience with wildlife and interacting with the environment.
And you decided that you wanted to recreate this for yourself?
Right.
And
I, this sounds very, very strange.
The Inside Passage.
Well, most people think if you're going to live on an island, you go to the South Seas and,
sort of Robinson Crusoe.
Right.
Now he definitely in a warmer clime.
But I wanted something that was just totally untouched by man. In fact, the island I lived on, I was the only white person. I was surrounded by Indians. And I could turn around a 360-degree circle on top of the mountain on the island, and I couldn't see another trace of humanity. That's how isolated it was at that time. So that's what I wanted to recreate. And it sounds very, very strange, but during the 18 months I was there, I spent a grand total of $247 that entire time. And I mean,
wow.
We can blow that right now on going to lunch somewhere. So
that's
I wanted
true.
To go back to the land and see if I could stop being a consumer and, live off of nature itself, which was quite possible up there because it's so rich.
And what did you do to prepare yourself for this trip? This was taken, this trip to the Inside Passage was made 8 years ago. How many years ago?
Yeah, I think it's been about 8 years now.
And obviously, did you do much preparation before you isolated yourself like
this? I lived in Aspen and I was a ski bum and I knew how to camp and things like that. But sometimes it's better not to know too much when you go into an experience and to sort of be a little bit naive, because then you keep an open mind about things. And I had never dreamed or thought it was possible to be in a situation where you're surrounded by wolves and grizzly bears and killer whales. And so I had to call on a lot of inner resources that I didn't even know that I had, which was a lot of the experiences in the book.
Were at any time during your 18 months that you spent isolated on this island and in fear of your life?
A couple times, because the weather up there is so capricious. It changes just moment to moment. And the close call was being in an open boat caught out in the ocean in 80-mile-an-hour winds with 14-foot waves that I didn't think I knew how to survive. But a lot of instinctual knowledge that's never tested, never used in the civilized world kind of rises to the occasion and helps you save your own life. And in that case, that happened.
I asked you about the Cosmopolitan magazine article. Would you do that over again? Be Cosmo Bachelor of the Month. Would you choose to be isolated on a desert island again for 18 months?
As long as I can take my Cosmo letters with
me and have a portable Cosmo girl with
me. And have a portable phone.
Cosmo
no, I'm
gal.
Teasing. I would certainly do it again. But my life, I never have a happy medium. It's always an extreme. I'm living on an island all by myself, almost like a Trappist monk. Then I come back down into civilization and the Cosmo thing happens. And now there's, 3,000 letters to go through. So.
Which just goes to show you what your karma can change, but you're choosing your karma too. Actually, you're choosing which way your life goes. What about loneliness? How did you cope with that? To me, would be the biggest challenge you'd have to face, being isolated on an island like this with Indians who do not speak your language, obviously with animals who don't speak your language either necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with being alone?
It didn't bother me for the first part. In fact, the first winter, I went for 67 straight days without seeing another human being at all. But when it got really bad is when you were out in your kayak and a killer whale jumped out of the water 30 feet up in the air right in front of you. Or at night when the northern lights would dance through the sky with iridescent red and green colors. That's when I felt most alone, because there was no one to turn to and sort of shriek together with joy or happiness at having magical experiences. And then I would write these 20-page letters to my friends just to sort of gush or pour out my enthusiasm for the place, to try to feel a connection.
Did you get mail in return? Was it civilized to the point where there was actually a post office and there was... were there any telephones on the island?
No telephones on the island, but there was an Indian reservation, Alert Bay, which was 12 miles away. And I would go into there once every couple months to get mail and buy staples and things like that. So there was, some connection to the outside world.
What would you say you learned from doing that experience up in Alaska from that 18 months of isolation? What did you learn about yourself, and what did you learn about the wilderness?
Well, what I learned, and there's a psychologist named William James, who's the brother of Henry James, the novelist, and he said that we lead lives inferior to ourselves. In other words, we don't give ourselves enough credit. Einstein said we only use 2% of our brains. And on the island, I definitely went through a stretch of abilities. And normally our brains stop us from experiencing a lot of life because we censor ourselves and say, oh, I couldn't do that. That's way beyond my talents or abilities. But I learned being there on the island and going through these tests every day that we do lead lives inferior to ourselves. We're capable of so much more if we just open up to that.
You really had to stretch yourself.
Yes.
And I guess what you realize is that we can all stretch ourselves if we choose to do that, if we have to do it. It sounds as if you put yourself in a situation here where you really had to stretch yourself.
And the book is really about human potential. There's the stories. We all have sort of a dormant Superman or Superwoman within us, like the woman who backs her car down the driveway, and runs over her child, and she's able to lift the car up. That power is there in an autonomic nervous system that we can tap into. Hopefully never for an instance like that, but it's there for daily life.
What was an instance in which you felt that you really had to overcome some weakness that you thought you had?
Well, I have a horrible time. I get lost constantly. I have to drive to San Francisco and find a place, and I'm always getting lost. So if you get lost in San Francisco with a map and street signs, and here I am in the wilderness, and I would go out, for like hours and hours in my boat, and when you turn around, there's no street signs or arrows pointing the way home. So that ability really sharpened and increased a lot.
What did you do when you got lost? Surely that must have happened with no landmarks around. How did you, you carry a compass?
Carried a compass, but then I actually, the natural senses that we have, they can come alive and increase. And this might sound strange, but it's kind of a psychic phenomenon that I was actually able to use my face almost as a radar screen to pinpoint exactly where I lived. And sometimes I would paddle home 12 miles through the fog, not be able to see more than 4 or 5 feet in front of me, and hit the beach right on the nose, just because I could almost feel it on my face when I was right on as far as the direction. So from being a total, idiot as far as getting lost anywhere I went, to being able to hone in on the island with sort of a natural radar. So that ability really increased.
What do you hope people will get from reading your book, Inside Passage, which is now all over the place? It's on every bookshelf, every bookstore I've gone into.
Well, what I'm getting, and I'm getting it from the letters from the Cosmo ladies that have gone out and bought the book and are reading it, they're saying, Michael, you've really inspired me, you know, to quit the dead job that I'm in and go out and go for my own dreams and try to make things happen in my own life. And if I could do that, that's invaluable to me. I mean, that's worth any amount of money that I ever got paid for the book or whatever, just to get one single letter from somebody saying that maybe I've inspired them to, you know, go for it and try to make their own dream happen.
And where do you go from here, Michael? Our caller wanted to know what you've been doing in the most recent past, but what do you do now in the future? Are you writing another book? You said you were writing an article about your Cosmopolitan experience.
Right. There's I have six projects at once, and we're doing the film, the PBS film, based on Inside Passage, and then my second book is going
to... When can we expect to see the PBS film? And will it be called Inside Passage? Does
right.
it actually recreate your experience is it Swanson Island?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a docudrama. It'll be Inside Passage, and the subtitle is One with the Wilderness. And that'll show probably late this year or spring of 93 by the time it's actually aired. And I'm working on a project now about pink dolphins in the Amazon River that are one of five freshwater species of dolphins. And unfortunately, they're being slaughtered at the rate of 200 a month for their left eyeball, which is dried and sold for black magic. So that's an environmental travesty that I want to go down and investigate and write about.
And where can we read about that? I guess all over the place. You'll be coming out
yeah,
with that eventually,
we'll come
Michael.
Out
we'll have
book.
To have you back to talk about it.
Well, that'd be
it.
Great.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Michael Mojeleski. Once again, the book is Inside Passage, Living with Killer Whales, Bald Eagles, and Kuakeutl Indians. And you can also write to him and through Cosmo Bachelor of the Month. I'm Ricky Raffner. Have a great weekend.
Great.